I am blowing my weighty glory upon you. Receive my weighty glory upon you. It is a gift. It is a mantle for this hour that you are living in. It will sustain you. My glory will sustain you. It will strengthen you. It is establishing you. Walk under the weight of my glory that I breathe upon you. I am blowing across this people right now.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So we're going to take a look at a passage of scripture in the Old Testament about a guy named Joseph. This is the account of Jacob and his family when Joseph was 17 years old. He often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers about it. They hated him more than ever. So we see here that you know, there's a guy, Joseph. Many of you may know the story about Joseph and his coat of many colors. And he had this dream, and his brothers definitely resented him for it. You know, there's a lot of different factors going on here. Of course, you've got the favoritism of the father, which certainly is not helping, the coat, and, you know, also Joseph having these dreams. But we can also see that Joseph, even though he seems to have this charmed life where he's so loved and getting this honor from his dad, he's got his struggles as well too. Now, his dad, Jacob, had Joseph go out and check up on his brothers one day. And so when he, Joseph, arrived there, just checking up on his brothers, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the countryside. What are you looking for? He asked. I'm looking for my brothers, Joseph replied. Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep? Yes, the man told him. They have moved on from here, but I heard him say, let's go on to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said. All right. I love the story of Joseph for so many reasons. I love the heart of Joseph, the purity, the sincerity of him. You see this idealistic young man, he's 17 years old, and he's getting stuff from God. He's getting dreams in his heart. He's seeing stuff, and he's so excited about it. And yet, you can see that it's not a perfect world for him. He does have the favor of his father, but he's got the resentment of his brothers. And so many times, as we look at, you know, somebody like this, we look at our lives, we experience the same kind of dichotomy, if you will. You got stuff from God. You're excited about it. It just seems like everything should line up and want to go the way you're wanting to go, and yet you feel opposition. You feel different things coming against you. There are dreams that God puts in your heart. And how do you navigate getting those dreams that are in your heart out? And this morning, we're going to simply, the message of the day is your God-given dream, okay? You got dreams in you that are put in you by God. There's a deep calling unto deep. There's stuff that gets stirred up in your heart, things to do, to say, to pursue, stuff that's there. And again, it's not there by accident. It's there because God put stuff in you. God put stuff in Joseph. And yet it just wasn't, you know, a simple little straight line to fulfill it. There were all kind of different obstacles and things that Joseph had to overcome to get the dreams in his heart out. And this is really such an important message right now, too, in light of stuff that's just going on in our world. There's a lot of stuff going on. And a lot of times it's you naturally think about stuff and end times and all that stuff that's going on. Absolutely, signs of the times, that's definitely part of what we can see with all the things going on and wondering about different timings of things. But one of the things that we've got to realize, too, is that it's not just about what the enemy's doing in the world. It's about what God is doing in the world in the last days. We're not looking unto Satan. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, very good, of our faith. So we're continuing that look. He who began the good work in you will complete it, finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it hasn't changed our agenda. It hasn't changed our gaze. It hasn't changed what we do next. We're still down here to do really cool, creative, amazing things that God has called us to do. We can't take our eye off that ball. Our life still has to be about the Father's business, why we're here. All right, we can see again what's going on in the world. We can be aware of it, but we set our mind on things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So that upward call, that gaze, that creative, God has got these dreams and these purposes in me, should not be distracted from with what's going on in our world today. We still have permission to dream and to follow after those good things that's stirring ourselves up. Because God has put those things in us to come out. It's why we're here. It's part of our purpose. And so as we're looking at the message today, your God-given dream, we're going to use the story of Joseph to kind of be that catalyst to stir up those things that are on the inside of us. These are the things that we're here for. It's for a limited time only. You know, we're here for such a time as this, to do the good works he's ordained us to walk in. So that's what I want to do this morning. I want to encourage us in those dreams, those purposes that God has put in our hearts. So in terms of getting the dream God has put in you out, the first and foremost thing that we have to do is we have to see the dream, okay? You got to see it. There's got to be something that you're seeing to do. Now, we see Joseph had some very clear dreams. He saw some things. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So Joseph said to him, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves all stood around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had dreamed still another dream, and had told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. It's almost like Mary pondering these things in her heart. There's something that he couldn't just dismiss it, could he? He's hearing that. It just sounds, but there's kind of a deep calling into the people. He couldn't just flat out dismiss it. Now, granted, you can see where these dreams could be a little intimidating as Joseph is relating these, dreams to his family. Yet, either this is a vain imagination or it's from God. Time is going to tell. But he was honest, and you can see he's just got this sincerity and excitement from, you know, what he got in his heart. But it was something that he could see. It was something that was revealed to him by God. Now, as we take this idea and bring it down to our New Testament, born-again Christian world that we live in, we see clearly from the Scriptures, we are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which God predestined for us, taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. This is the new living, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Wow. When you look at this, when you look at the scripture in light of our lives, you see that God put in us good works. There's things that are in us that he's called us to do. There are things already in us that haven't been revealed fully up here. There are things in us that God is going to show us that we can be even more aware of. We can perceive some things. We might know some things. But good works he's ordained us to walk in. And some of those things that are in you, you've perceived them and you've seen them, and it's like, wow, now what? You know? So we see that this process of dreaming, it applies to all of us. So he's put things in us, but here's not only does he put good works in us, but God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So it's not like there's good works in you and you're like, oh man, I got to do that. No, there's good works in you and he's working in you to desire, to will, to do. When you discover the good works he's ordained you to walk in and there's desire, it's like, man, why doesn't everybody want to do this? Everybody should be doing this. There's a desire, there's a passion, there's a knowing of what God has put on the inside of you. And so we can see that there's good works in you, there's a working in you to will and to do, but there's something that comes out ahead of all that. I pray the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. The passion, I pray the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. In other words, there's good works that are in us. He's working in us to will and to do, and we're praying them out. We're praying for the light to see what those good works are. Now, I'm saying that all to say this. We're laying this spiritual foundation, but where does faith meet real life? What does this look like in real life? In one sense, think about this. God is a creator. And we are created in his image. We are created in the image of a creator. What does that make us? If you're created in the image of a creator, there's going to be something about you that's like him. There's going to be a creative desire in you. All right? Creative. Revelatory, something you see and do. Now, a lot of times, you know, in our paradigm down here, we kind of divide people. Are you a creative type or are you not a creative type? Forget that paradigm. You're created in the image of Almighty God. And whatever you're doing, it's going to come the same way. You're going to see something and you're going to do what you see. You're going to hear something, and you're going to say what you hear. That outlet, that creative outlet, is going to be a response to the author and finisher of your faith. He didn't just author it, and you got it from here. Nah, you're going to stay with him the whole journey. You're going to be responding to his finishing work. You're going to be seeing, and responding. Seeing and responding. It's exciting. It's the most satisfying thing there is. Who would be the most creative being in the whole world? It would be Jesus Christ. Think about it. All things were made by him and for him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And yet when he lived on this earth, he only said what he heard the Father say, and he only did what he saw the Father do. Most creative being in the existence. And never once do you see Jesus, speaking frustrated with the Father. Father, you're like stifling my creative ability. Like, I want to say what I want to say. I want to do what I want to do. But no, I got to wait. And just like, if anybody had the right to cop an attitude, a creative attitude, it would have been Jesus Christ. But he didn't do it, did he? He said, but he heard the Father say. Now think about it. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Some of those Pharisees smarting off at him, I'm sure there was things he wanted to say. But he was under authority. And he only said what he heard the Father say. He kept it in line. I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing to think. Let me tell you something. That, what Jesus modeled there, is the ultimate expression of creativity there is. When you see something and you do it, you hear something and you say it. I don't care whether God shows you a painting and you paint that painting, or a song and you write that song, or how to organize a room and you organize a room. It's the same thing. It's the same exercise. Do you understand? You're responding to God. Yeah, you might sell 1,000,000 copies of this and get the glory of man. Everybody, you're a creative. And, oh, you would organize your room. Anybody can do that. No, not at all. One body, many members, and there's an anointing and a grace to do whatever you do. So again, through the lens of man, it can be creative, non-creative. But through the lens of God, it's obedient and disobedient. I painted. What do you have that you did not receive from God? What have you done for him that you didn't receive from him? Nothing. All you're doing is responding to him. That's your creativity. But it's the good works he put in you. The Creator put a creative outlet on the inside of you. And it's giving you this ability to dream, to see things, to be excited about your dreams. Now we see in the story of Joseph, was everybody excited about Joseph's dreams? No. But I'm glad you don't have to take a vote to see whether it's from God or not either, right? You can stick with those dreams. Stick with what God's showing you to do. Because he's the one who puts those good works on the inside of you in the first place, and he's the one who's on the inside of you working to will and to do and giving you the desire to do it. And so that's the cool thing, as he begins to show you and gives you desire. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. This is what I'm here to do. That's the best way. And that's why we pray, Lord, illuminate the eyes of my understanding. Show me what you've put on the inside of me. It's not up to me to come up with something. I'm glad it isn't that way. You're going to have your time. Do you realize that? You're going to rule and reign with Christ forever. And you won't have the limitation of a sinful body. You'll have a glorified body. It's going to be a whole new paradigm, whole new set of rules. I don't know exactly everything. We were looking at the other day, 2 trillion galaxies? My goodness, you divide that by however many billions of people, you're still going to have you could potentially have tons of galaxies per person. Who knows? This is the vastness of God for that ultimate creativity and outlet. But it starts with an obedience, doesn't it? It starts with, Lord, show me. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Your Lord, your God, show me. I'm responding to you. He's preparing us in some ways for eternity. But this is how we get what's in us out. And this is the cool thing, because what he shows you is what you're accountable for, no matter how big or how small it is. It might be small to other people, but it doesn't matter. That's what God's called me to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm satisfied and awesome. That's what I got in my heart to do. It's not about how man's looking at it. It's about obedience to what God is showing you to do. And this is why we pray. Father, show me. I want the eyes of my imagination, my understanding, to be flooded with light, that I can experience the full revelation of the hope of your calling. I love that. That's the part we play. And as we pray, we see things. We get things. And as we see things and as we get things, we respond to those things. And I'll tell you what, there is no greater job satisfaction in the world than to simply say what you've heard the Father say and do what you saw him do. That's it. You know, there's something in your spirit that's satisfied when you see something and do something. There's dreams that are in our heart. They're birthed as we see something. They're birthed through prayer and as we see and begin to respond to those things that we see. And I'll say this too. Again, there's different kinds of things that you're going to see. There's different kinds of dreams that you're going to dream. And so, again, kind of getting it down to where it meets real life, there can be some different things that are according to a plan or a purpose, but God's going to give you other projects too. I remember one time I was just driving home from work, and I was driving to work. I was worked at Hardee's at the time. I was driving to Hardee's, and all of a sudden I had the radio going, and I mean, I even still remember the song. It was Sweet Adoration. That was playing on the radio at the time. And all of a sudden, as I'm just kind of singing along with the song, all of a sudden I see a picture of my friend Joe, my best friend Joe, being saved. I saw him lifting his hands in worship and praise. I didn't ask. I mean, I'm just worshiping God myself. And I just saw that image. I thought, wow, what? And it was so cool. It was like, oh, man, that is amazing. And I'll tell you, I got to work, and when I saw that image in my spirit, it was so real. It was like God showed me something. It was like a little spiritual dream, a little spiritual to-do project, something that was in me. And when I saw that, I never looked at Joe the same way again. It's like, oh, Joe. Yeah, I mean, I know technically everybody, but there's something God will put you, something on you, but a person. And then that's different then. There's something in you that's going to be a contributing factor that he's going to put in you to do something, to work in somebody. And so as I went to work, you know, I'm just kind of doing my own thing. All of a sudden, you know, there was just a favor and there was a grace. And I just remember beginning to talk to Joe a little bit and had him hang out with a few friends, like a Bible study or something. I forgot exactly what it was. But anyway, Joe ended up coming to the Lord and he received the Lord that summer. I mean, it was within weeks of when I saw that. And we were at church. It was probably just later that fall. And I remember that song we were singing, I Exalt Thee. And Joe was raising his hands to that song, I Exalt Thee. And I was just looking over there, and the Lord just reminded me of that thing that I saw in my vision in the car. It's like, praise God, that's so awesome. You know, he shows us stuff. And some of those are just little assignments along the way that you're going to get, that you're going to see. There are dreams. It's like, okay, you're tapping me to pray about that person. You're tapping me to say what I hear you say and to do what I see you do about that person. Sometimes there can be those special assignments, and they are glorious. And it's like, praise God, good work, ordained to walk in. Other things, though, are going to be very natural. My other side of my brain is programmer, all right? Computer programmer. What's up with that, all right? Here's how that happened to me. I took this little programming class in eighth grade. And I didn't even really care. I thought it was okay, but I wasn't like really, I thought it was okay. It was like interesting, but, you know, it wasn't like so excited about it. But that Christmas break, we're watching, you know, watch The Price is Right, okay? You can do that on Christmas break. You do the things that you can't do when you're going to school. So me and my brother are watching The Price is Right. And, you know, they got all those goofy little games you play. And one of the games was, you know, guess the number between one and whatever it was, 50 maybe. And it was kind of, you had so many guesses to get that number, and they would say higher or lower. And if you got it in the number of guesses, you won the prize. And I'm watching that game. I don't know how many times I've seen that goofy little game. And all of a sudden, I see something. I see how I could write a program that could have a random, that could pick a random number, and then a person could guess it, and then I could go higher and lower. Just a simple little statement, greater than or less than, just a programming logic thing. But I was so excited about that, I literally, you know, got paper and I began to write out the program for this little game. And I was already done with the class, but I would go into the lab and I would write out this game, and I got a game. And I was able to do, you know, recreate that game. And it was so cool to me. I thought, I just felt so empowered by that. You know, I wrote something. And I told my dad once, I said, you know, just get me you don't have to get me games, just get me a computer. I can make whatever game I want. But that launched a whole side of my life in programming. And I could tell you, and I'm sure people, you think, oh, programming, that's just kind of a mundane number. I'm telling you what, there are situations and problems that God shows you. He arranges the room. He shows you how to organize the room. He shows you the plan. It's like, wow, that's amazing. That's cool. And there's a spiritual element to it. You know, it's like, wow, it's amazing. And it's like, and what is it? You're just responding, but you're getting what's in you out, right? And this is where you don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves, whether it's a picture or a room or whatever. That's secondary. I mean, it's what God has put in you. And as you begin to listen to that, it's creative stuff. And so it doesn't have to be a spiritual assignment necessarily. It can be. It's all good to have the ears to hear, so you're open to whatever it is. But it can be natural stuff. I say that, I bring out the programming side, because keep your ears open to stuff there too. If you're hearing natural things, and that would be a cool way to do it, don't just dismiss that and think, oh, that's not very spiritual. Hold on to that thought, because if you sense you got something, then there's value there. There's something precious there. It's something to lift back up to God and say, Lord, is there something you want me to do this with this? Is there a gift here? I can tell you one thing. If you've got patience for something and everybody else is going, oh, brother, I can't, and you just keep going and going and going until you just get it, there's a good sign that staying with it is something bigger than just you. There is a grace there. There's an ability there. You're seeing, you're perceiving those things to do. You got to see the dream. You know, it starts out with seeing it. It starts out with perceiving it. But so many different ways, we got to be humble enough to realize, you know, it's just whatever God is showing me, whatever he's revealing to me, it doesn't have to be, you know, according to the world standards and all that. It's going to be what God shows you. It can be little assignments with people. It can be talents and abilities that are on the inside of you. But be open to that. Keep an open ear to those different ways that God can speak to you. So then there's the getting that dream. There's a perceiving the dream. But then, of course, there's what we're simply calling holding on to that dream. Okay? There are a lot of dreams that people have started out with and have let go of. And when you look at the story of Joseph, you see he's got all these dreams, and yeah, his brothers do resent him. And what do? They threw him in a pit, and they sold him to some slave traders because they resented him so bad. So you think, well, that's that. Guess there's nothing more to see here. But as it happens, the slave traders came by, and they sold him, Joseph, to a guy named Potiphar. And the scripture says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar. So soon he made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household. For Joseph's sake, all his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. What a beautiful testimony. So you can see Joseph, you know, you'd think Joseph would have cause to be bitter, to be angry, to be resentful. Why, God, you gave me, but you just see he's okay, if I'm going to be a slave, then I'm going to be the best slave I can be. Wow. I'll tell you what, that shows something about Joseph's heart. That shows something about the sincerity of his heart. It shows something about my trust and my hope here is in God. It's okay. I'm still trusting in God. He's going to get it done. All right. And it shows too that he didn't have it figured out in his head how it was going to happen because he still had that heart, that trustful heart on. Well, as it turns out, Joseph here gets framed by Potiphar's wife for a scandalous thing, falsely accused, and so then Joseph gets thrown in prison. And you think, okay, well, this is finally the end. You see, you try to keep your trust in God, and then this happens. Well, Scripture says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Look at this guy. He gets falsely accused, thrown in prison, and he's going to be the best prisoner he can be. This is why we all need this story. These Old Testament examples. We need this story of Joseph to remind us. Man, this guy, it's like the old adage, he's in the prison, but the prison isn't in him. He kept his heart toward God. He kept his heart right toward God. I mean, that's an amazing story, and it's amazing heart, but here we see Joseph, he is doing that. And as it turns out, a couple of the prisoners that are in here with Joseph are the chief butler and the chief baker, and they both have dreams. And so now Joseph gets the interpretation of the chief butler's dream and the chief baker's dream. And he tells the chief butler that, hey, you're going to be released from here. You're going to be promoted. You're going to be put right back with Pharaoh's house. He told the chief baker, you are going to be executed. You're going to be hung. That's the interpretation of your dream. And I think, wow, that's some pretty harsh interpretation, pretty good interpretation. Talk about, good cop, bad cop, positive, negative. It's the most extreme extreme opposites. But Joseph is just true. There's just something about him. He just stands up to the plate and says it straight. He says exactly what the Lord told him to say. And he told the chief butler something very specific. He said, look, you are going to get restored back to your place. I mean, this is a pretty confident guy. He says, and when you are restored, he said, remember me. That's all he said. His only request. So, as the story goes, now it came to pass in the third day, which was the Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. All right. So, here we go again. Joseph forgotten. You think, man, a supernatural interpretation of dream. If anything's going to get the Pharaoh's attention, this is going to be it. But it didn't. And there is something about Joseph here that we see that's in him that, to me, shows why he got the dreams in some way. It's why he could get this dream. It's why God could trust a dream like this to him, because there was something about him that God knew ahead of time that he wasn't going to let go of this dream. He wasn't going to feel sorry for himself, get in a pity party. I mean, a lot less have happened to people than have happened to Joseph here, and they've taken themselves out. You understand? Joseph's holding on. He's holding on to this. He's hanging on to this dream. There may be some people you've been praying for years. You may feel like, okay, that's it, right? Nope. You're going to hang on. You're going to keep standing in the gap. You're going to keep holding out for him. You're going to, as long as that dream that God has put in your heart, that's my assignment. That's what I'm doing. I'm holding on to it. But there's something about the way you're holding on to it too. I remember telling a story. I forgot last time I told it, but and I don't even know if it's a true story or not, but the story about the little bird, he's in the cage and he's singing and he's all happy. and cheerful, just the cheeriest little bird there is. And all of a sudden, the house lady, the cleaner, accidentally, as she's cleaning the cage, sucks the little bird into the vacuum cleaner, through the hose and into the vacuum cleaner. And she feels horrible, feels bad. And she goes in and she opens the vacuum cleaner, and miraculously, the little bird survives. Brushes the little bird off, puts the little bird in the cage. The little bird's fine, but the little bird never sang again. No, that's a happy little bird. I mean, not a happy, it's a healthy little bird, but that little bird saw some things getting sucked through a vacuum cleaner. Smelled some things, felt some things. All of a sudden, this paradigm of this charmed life was gone. And I'm not singing anymore. Well, think about this Joseph. Joseph has been sucked through the vacuum cleaner too. In fact, he's spent 13 years in the vacuum cleaner. From the time he got the dream to the time that he's about to realize the dream. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. So be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you, and he'll promote you at the right time. And so, as the story goes, we can see that, Pharaoh does have a dream, but I want to say this first. When things look bad and you're trying to do things and it doesn't seem like it's working, you're trying to do what you know to do to fulfill a dream, all right? You feel like you've done what God has shown you to do. There is going to be a time of just patience. Sometimes there's a time of waiting. And in that waiting, there's good things going on the inside of you. Patience is having its perfect work in a way that's changing you in a way that you don't even realize it. That when you come out on the other side of this and things happen, you don't even flinch. Because something dies in you in a good way. There's ego that dies there. There's impatience that dies there. And you come out of that place stable, secure, strong. Again, the stuff that you can't always see, you can't notice in your heart. But keeping that tenacity, I'm going to do it no matter what. This is something we got it. I first heard it in Bible school, but it's called the paradoxical commandments. They go like this. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. You can hear voices in those statements. And the paradoxical commandment won't let dreams die. You're going to stay alive in the face of those defeating and thoughts and discouraging thoughts. They all have something in common. Quit. Give up. It's not worth it. Think of Joseph in the prison. You know, once you read that story of Joseph, he eventually does get called up here, and we're going to see how he's going to be living that dream. But you know, the scripture gives us an interesting little tidbit. And I remember this standing out because as a kid, we'd get the comic books of these stories. And I can still see that picture in my comic book when Joseph is going to go up and see the Pharaoh. He's shaving. He's getting cleaned up to see the Pharaoh. There's something about him on the inside where he's cleaned up. There's something that he's not in despair. He's not having to be dragged to Pharaoh. He's not, there's no, oh, here I am, finally. Not at all. He's keeping an appointment that the Father had set up for him. He's going there with a certain posture. He's not feeling sorry for himself. He's going there with a posture that's about to give him ears to hear what the Lord has to say about what Pharaoh's saying, that you can't hear if you're all into yourself. All you can see is you. But Joseph, he's ready. Man, what a heart. Talk about a guy. Because that's what happens. Pharaoh has a dream, and he's disturbed by it. And he wants an interpretation, but all of his wisest people can't give him the interpretation. That's when the chief butler remembers, I know a guy. He's in prison, but I know a guy who can interpret dreams. And that's when Joseph was brought up, shaved, cleaned up. He heard Pharaoh's dream, and he perfectly interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh knew it was right. And so Pharaoh says this, Pharaoh speaking to Joseph, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. What an amazing picture to see Joseph here. But you don't see Joseph. You see a guy who's got power. He's got authority. But God has his heart. This is a man who God has exalted in due season. This is the timing. And we can see what Joseph said about Pharaoh's dream. It came to pass. What Joseph said was that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So here's what you got to do, Pharaoh. During those 7 years of plenty, you got to store up that extra grain, so the 7 years of famine, you're going to have plenty left over. They did what Joseph said to do. They stored up all this extra granary in those 7 years of plenty. And then when the 7 years of famine came, they were fine. Egypt was fine. But all the surrounding areas were coming to Egypt for food. They didn't have the wise counsel that the Pharaoh had in Joseph. And among those people who were coming to Egypt for food turned out to be Joseph's brothers, who came before Joseph, who ended up bowing before him, bowing the knee before him to be able to get the food that Joseph had stored up. You can see a fulfillment, a realization of that dream. And so Joseph has a moment where his brothers are in his presence, you know, wanting the food. It's a really amazing story. Just read all the details of it. But the gist is basically this. The brothers are there in the room with Joseph, and Joseph tells all of his attendants to leave the room. We're about to have the big reveal. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out of the room. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. So they came near him. And he said to them, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And he went on to tell them, don't be afraid. I love you. You have a place here. Get my father. And that's ultimately what happened. Joseph was a deliverer for his own family. And his family was able to live with him all the days of their lives and to enjoy that togetherness with him. And Joseph, here's a man of God who says something like this. He said, don't be hard on yourselves. He said, God had a bigger purpose in my coming here, to be here for your deliverance. He was a man who had a heart for God that wouldn't let go of a dream, but that same heart that wouldn't let go of the dream had compassion on his brothers. I mean, wow. This is somebody who saw a dream, held on to a dream, and now he's living the dream. He's living the dream in a way that his brother and father originally despised, but it was a dream that was ultimately designed to bless and deliver his brothers and his father. I'll tell you what, sometimes there's going to be some things that people might question what you do, and you do what God calls you to do, and later they come by and say, I'm glad you did what you did, you know, because what you did ended up blessing them. It ended up ministering to them. I just want to close with this passage of Scripture. This is a promise that we have, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. These are those days. These are the days where his Spirit is poured out on all flesh. We're looking unto Jesus. We are the thing that's going on in the earth today. You understand that? It's not what Iran is doing. It's not what this group is doing or that group is doing. It's what the church is doing. The church is the happening thing in the earth. The church is the church is God's person in the earth. You know, we're the body of Christ. It's his organization. It's his family in the earth that his Spirit is breathing on, that the Spirit is being poured out on. And that's why we realize, I have a God-given dream. Don't think of it in terms of creative type, non-creative. You are a child of God. That Spirit is poured out on all flesh. That Spirit is speaking things for you to do, speaking things for you to say. And don't worry about your vindication right now. Vindication will happen when vindication happens. Right now, keep that heart right. Keep seeing that dream. Don't let go of that dream. There are things God's put on the inside of you. Follow those paradoxical commandments. Give the world your best. You'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world your best anyway. Don't let voices discourage you. You continue to go after what God has put in your heart, because there are dreams he's put in there that you got to see, you got to hold on to, and ultimately you got to live. But thank God he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He has placed his creativity on the inside of us. He's going to show us things. He's going to give us things to respond to. And again, whether it's a piece of art or how to do something or a person that's going to get saved or whatever that assignment is, the exercise is the same. And you don't have anything except that which you've received from God. And the scripture goes on to say, then why do you boast as though you hadn't? We don't boast. Our salvation is a gift. The good works he's placed on the inside of us are a gift that we have the opportunity to respond to be about his business in some amazing ways. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for dreams that you've put on the inside of our hearts. We recognize that your Spirit has been poured out on our flesh, that there are gifts, there are abilities, callings, plans, purposes that you've put on the inside of our hearts, Lord. We just pray right now for a fresh stirring up of those dreams. Holy Spirit, we thank you for just your ability to reveal to our hearts those dreams. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith. If your heart can agree, say, Dear Heavenly Father, you began this good work in me, and you're going to finish it. I lift up my eyes, and I pray, give me understanding. Let my eyes be flooded with light that I can see and perceive all the good works you've ordained me to walk in. I am your masterpiece. I want to live out that dream, that purpose. I won't let go. Even in the prison, I won't let go. Even when falsely accused, I won't let go. You are good, and I love you, and I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, we're living in, I guess you could consider, some dark times, but I'll tell you what, they're dark in the world, but they're not dark in our hearts. We're living in the glorious light. We are children of the light, flooded with God's creativity and purpose. And I just sense that stirring, I guess, this morning, to be renewed, to be refreshed with that sense of purpose, dreams that God's called us to walk in. Amen. Praise God.